Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pull up, ball to the five. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up a bit.
That's intercepted. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's 20. Gone. Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
The playoffs start this Sunday for the 4-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll tell you a little bit more here on a brand new game preview episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast live on YouTube today. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. And what I mean, Evan, by, you know, the playoffs begin this Sunday for the 4-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's a division game against the Falcons, a team that's already beat them once this year. And believe it or not, with a 4-7 record, we are still talking about playoffs. But the Bucs have pinned themselves into a corner here. And if they lose to Atlanta on Sunday, they may as well pack it up and go home, call it a season, because the NFC South could be out of reach now with Atlanta sweeping the Bucs on the season. But I don't know. How do you think this game is going to shake out, and what are your thoughts on the matchup this week for Tampa Bay?
Well, the good news for the Bucs is they're 5-7. That's the good news.
Man, well, it tells you the type of 5-7 team that they are. We're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about the division race. It doesn't feel like they're a 5-7 team. It really doesn't feel like they're a team worth, you know, even spending time talking about a playoff spot on. But the door is not shut completely. So until it is, we're gonna talk about all the ways they can make it to the postseason.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's more so the NFC South being bad than anything else. You know, it's just this division. If it was a normal division, like if you look around the NFL, like the Lions are 9-3, they're leading their division. You know, the 49ers are 9-3, they're leading their division. The Eagles are 10-2, they're leading their division. Cowboys are in second, they're 9-3. Chiefs 8-4, Jags 8-4, Ravens 9-3, Dolphins 9-3. If the Bucs are in any other division here, it's over. Like it's over now. It's already done. So it's not so much like, oh man, the Bucs are, they're staying alive. They're staying alive by default, basically, because just nobody wants the NFC South, I guess. And it was the same way last year. Like the Buccaneers won the NFC South with a losing record last year. Now I know that week 18 game against Atlanta, they pulled their starters. Like they could have won and had a winning record, whatever. But you know, they still had a losing record. So it seems like we're almost on pace for that again this year. But you're right though. I mean, this is it. I mean, if they lose, the rest of the games don't matter. I mean, I'm going to be pretty blunt. Like if they lose, the rest of these games do not matter. You drop to 5-8. Atlanta would clearly have the tiebreaker over you. You get swept by them. And also, like, I just think the team would just be so demoralized at that point because, like, they know how big of a game this is. Like, they know that they need to win this game. They cannot get swept by Atlanta. On the other hand, Atlanta can almost clinch the NFC South. Like, the Saints play the Panthers this week, so, like, the Saints have had their struggles, but the Saints are probably getting a win this week, like most likely winning this week, so it wouldn't be officially wrapped up, but, man, you would be able to basically eliminate the Buccaneers with a win this weekend. So Atlanta's going to know what's at stake, and the Buccaneers are going to know what's at stake as well. So, yeah, it is a massive, massive game, and easily the biggest game of the year, no matter what happens from here on out. It's going to be the biggest game of the year.
Brutal as Bucks in the chat says, I'm just excited there's something to root for, which is true. You know, there's been a lot of seasons where we've talked about the Bucks being 5-7 and well out of the playoff race, where at this point, the first week of December, you're looking at mock drafts, you're looking ahead to April, and the Bucks don't have anything to play for. But as it stands right now, this team very much in the thick of it, even though it's a very ugly NFC South. Happy Friday to everybody in the live chat as well. Christopher Cole, San Anto Gatto, Payday 39, Holyoke Joe, and Chris Mail. San Anto Gatto says it all starts with one game at a time. For those who have that lose mentality, then you get what you get. But you talked about how from the top down, you know, head coach Todd Bowles, everyone on his staff, and every player in that locker room, they know how important this week's game is, because if the Bucs lose, not only is their season over, but you're talking about just monumental changes on the way for this Buccaneers football team this offseason, which I know some people have been ready to talk about for, you know, a couple of weeks now with the firing of Todd Bowles brought into question every single week. But if the Bucs miss the playoffs, it almost feels inevitable. I mean, maybe there's a chance the Glazers surprise us and keep him around, but Todd Bowles said last week he doesn't feel like he's coaching for his job, but he may as well be, right? Like, is that just coach talk for, I'm going to ignore the outside noise, I don't feel like I'm coaching for my job? But deep down inside, he's coaching for his job every week.
Yeah, and I thought, and I mentioned this, I believe, on the pod a little bit ago about how Dave Canales had said, you know, basically he had an honest talk with his family about what happens to coaches of teams that lose 6 of 7 or 7 of 8. Like, so that shows me, yeah, like they're aware. And like Todd Bowles is clearly aware. Like he knows. Like he knows what happens if this season, you know, if they finish 6-11 or 5-12 or maybe even 7-10. Like he knows what's going to happen. And yeah, I mean, it could be, honestly, the loser of this game could be you know, actually without a head coach. Like, and I mean, it's not gonna, like, they're not gonna, you know, if they lose on Sunday, they're not gonna fire Todd Bowles on Monday. But you know, they're like Arthur Smith, like he's not completely safe. Like I think he's in a similar boat, and like, and Arthur Smith never even made the playoffs as Falcons head coach. Like Todd Bowles has made the playoffs at least, and Todd Bowles had, you know, won the Super Bowl as the Bucs defensive coordinator. Arthur Smith has had 2 straight 7-10 seasons, so he's going to be maybe coaching for his job as well. And yeah, they know. And like you said, though, with a loss, I mean, yeah, you could see a brand new head coach next year. You could see, if you're seeing a brand new head coach, you're most likely seeing a brand new quarterback. And that's not the only changes. I mean, those are the two biggest ones, but I think you'd see a lot more changes. And I think those changes will come whether Todd Bowles is here or not. Like, there's going to be some guys that are here right now that won't be next year. But, you know, I do think that the coaching staff is easily aware. And yeah, that's, he's okay, he's not coaching for his job. That probably means like right now. Like I think he's probably been given like assurances, like, look, yeah, like don't, like they don't want you, you know, sitting there having to worry about that. So they want you focused on the game. So basically saying, yeah, like they're not going to fire you midseason. Like the Glazers have never fired a head coach midseason. It's not, they let Raheem Morris start off 4-2. And lose 10 straight games, and they didn't fire him until after the season. Greg Schiano in his second season started 0-8. Both coaches were fired after that season, right? But he started 0-8 and they didn't fire him. So yeah, I do think that Bowles will get the rest of the season, and I think he needs to make the playoffs to keep his job. I think if this team misses the playoffs, I think the Glazers are looking for progress, and missing the playoffs after making them would not be progress. So I think he needs to make the playoffs to keep his job, and the way to make the playoffs is basically, I mean, people look at, you know, 5 games remaining. Okay, you can lose to Green Bay and Jacksonville as long as you win your 3 remaining divisional games. Like, you can lose those games. Like, Green Bay's playing great football right now. Just beat Kansas City. Well, arguably the hottest team in the NFL right now is Green Bay Packers. Like, that's a tough game next week. Like that is not an easy game now. And, you know, Jacksonville, obviously it sounds like Trevor Lawrence will be fine. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see about that, about his status. But it wouldn't really matter if you just win your divisional games. But it all starts this week. I mean, you have to win this game, especially since you already dropped the ball against Atlanta earlier in the season. It just makes this matchup even more important.
Before we get into, obviously, the game this week and some of the headlines, I want to ask you personally, we talk a lot about how the Bucs are on the verge of 2 very different offseasons. If they make the playoffs, more than likely Todd Bowles sticks around. I have to assume more than likely the Bucs take another chance on Baker Mayfield. Maybe it's a 2-year deal. Maybe it's another one-year deal. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what other teams are going to pay him, because let's not forget, Baker, while we've had a lot of discussion back and forth about whether or not he's the guy for the Bucks, there's a lot of other QB needy teams who are going to be ready to pay him, and they could be ready to pay him more than what the Bucks are. But if they make the postseason, you talk about retaining Todd Bowles, you talk about potentially retaining Baker Mayfield, which then affects your free agent priority when you look at guys who are going to be needing to get paid, like Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr. at the top of the list. Some other pressing free agents, Lavonte David in there as well. But for the Bucks, Evan, in your personal opinion, because people could go back and forth all day on this, if we had opened the phones, we could probably do a four-hour show. In your personal opinion, do you think it is best for the franchise for the Bucks to make the postseason, or to go ahead and take their lumps in one of these division losses, move on from Todd Bowles, and I don't want to say secure a top 10 pick and a quarterback, but have an easier ability to take a big time swing at your next potential franchise quarterback? What do you think is better for the Bucks right now? Because I have said it time and time again, I'm never going to root for them to lose. The more times you can get a losing franchise in the postseason, the better, because the Bucks are a losing franchise. They will always have this aura of losing. And I'm not saying postseason banners are going to help, but they certainly help cushion the blow a little bit in the grand scheme of things. And I feel like that kind of success, if it's there, you have to embrace it. If they make the postseason, I don't know why everyone's going to be upset.
Okay. So really quick, actually, I found something from a PFF Buccaneers account. It literally, the Bucs' chances of making the playoffs with a win is 52%. Okay. So more than likely, it's almost 50-50, but more than likely making the playoffs with a win.
It was 22% this time last week.
With a loss, 8%. So that's the difference we're talking here. Like, if they lose, it's over. Like, it is done. Like, I know that's the title of this podcast, but, like, it's true. Like, that's why we made the title. Really quick, to me, it's two separate things, right? Wanting, rooting for them to lose versus acknowledging that it's probably best for them to lose. It's two different things to me, right? Rooting for them to lose is you're sitting there on Sunday and, like, they score a touchdown and you're like, ugh. You know, like, they beat the Falcons. You're like, no, like, you're like actively rooting against them. Whereas acknowledging that it's best for the team, maybe long term, to lose, you're sitting there and you're just taking in the game. You're just sort of sitting there like, oh, yeah, they lost. Okay. You know, you just take it and move on. My personal opinion, and this is like going to be one of the first times that we're sort of talking about this. I do think it's important to make the playoffs. All right. I think that when you, like you said, a team that has not had much success, right, outside of a few years in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then a few years here in the early 2020s, has not had much success, right, especially playoff success. That being said, I think it's probably better for the franchise long term if they were to lose. And get, like I said, I'm not rooting against them, but what's better is probably for them to lose, get a new head coach, get your franchise quarterback, which those opportunities don't come around every day, right? You're not going to get an opportunity to draft a franchise quarterback every draft. It's not going to happen. Okay. And like, you're not going to find a Jalen Hurts in the second round every year. Not going to happen. Or even a Derek Carr, who the Raiders drafted in the second round, was a good quarterback. Not going to happen. Like, Kyle Trask was a second round pick. He hadn't started a game. You know, Malik Willis is a great example, right? He was a second round pick. Hasn't panned out. We talk about Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond was picked shortly after Kyle Trask. It was cut by the Vikings even before his rookie contract ended. Davis Mills replaced by CJ Stroud. So, like, you can't really rely on that. So you're going to need to get your franchise guy most likely in the first round, okay? Brock Purdy is not he's the exception, okay? Tom Brady is the exception. You're probably going to have to get a guy in the first round. So how do you do that? You pick high enough to get one. Could you get a Lamar Jackson type who falls sure, but yeah, I don't, that's not, you can't bank on that. So, and here's my thing. And this is what I think about when I say this. What good is it, right, to make the playoffs and in the wild card game, probably play the Dallas Cowboys, because I'm guessing the Cowboys are going to be the fifth seed and you'll be the fourth seed, play the Dallas Cowboys again and lose 38-10. Like, you know, what's the good in that, of getting blown out for the second straight year and being one and done? I don't see much good in that. And I think there's more positives than negatives for the long term, right? Maybe not this year, right? Obviously, this year it would suck to miss the playoffs and get a, you know, the ninth overall pick. But as far as the next 5 years, the next 6 years, it's probably better if they take their lumps this year, move on from Todd Bowles. And Baker's been fine, but like, it's probably better if, like, Baker's not going to be the starting quarterback 4 years from now for this team. Like, it's just, he's not. Even if Todd Bowles stays, like, Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield will not be here 4 years from now. Like, it just, it won't happen. So I think it would be best if you took your opportunities and just sort of seized the opportunity here and got your franchise quarterback along with a young offensive head coach, which obviously I know it's the craze now, right? It's that fad, but I don't think the fad's wearing off. Like, I think it's here to stay. And I think if you find that guy, I think it's going to be huge. We'll get into head coaching candidates when that time comes. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
I agree with your sentiments in the fact that if the Bucs decide to be in a position to bring back Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield next year, it's going to be more of the same. You know, Baker's been fine, but we've talked about his ceiling before, and I don't know if he's going to be able to constantly play at that level under Todd Bowles. I don't think he will be. You know, this defense has been getting worse week in and week out. That's on Todd Bowles. I mean, the Bucs are in bad shape, mostly because of execution on the field, but Todd Bowles has played a very fair hand in it. And it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. But
also,
I could acknowledge
another thing that people don't talk about really quick. If you make the playoffs, right, you win the NFC South. Next year, you play a first place schedule again.
You do.
So that means instead of playing the Los Angeles Rams and Minnesota Vikings, you're playing the or Green Bay Packers. You're playing the Detroit Lions and San Francisco 49ers. Yes, that matters. Like, you know, it definitely matters. And it's just, it's going to hurt your chances. And I just don't know how you can look at what Todd Bowles has done, right? Todd Bowles has done in the past two seasons. He's had one winning season in his career as a head coach. That was 10 and that was his first season as head coach as the New York Jets, 10-6. And I just don't know how you can have the confidence that giving this guy another year is going to work out. Now, the Buccaneers, listen, the Glazers, it's not a slam dunk that Todd Bowles is fired. Do I believe that if they miss the playoffs, Todd Bowles is fired? I do. I do think they're going to move on. However, the Glazers kept Dirk Koetter after the Buccaneers went 9-7, then 5-11. The Buccaneers didn't make the playoffs with 9-7. They kept Dirk Koetter for a third year after he went 5-11. Partially because they couldn't come to an agreement with John Gruden, but I think that's actually the main reason, because they just couldn't come to an agreement there. But then they cut Koetter for a third year. So I don't think it's 0% chance that Todd Bowles is back for a third year, even if he misses the playoffs. But I find it very unlikely that he's back.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments there about how I still think there's a chance. It would be a surprise if they missed the playoffs and Todd Bowles is back. People would not be happy. I don't think the stadium would quite be packed next year. And I'll leave it at that. But it will definitely be interesting to see how it shakes out. On to the injury front for this week's game as we dive into who's available and who is not. The final Bucs-Falcons injury report came out about an hour ago on the Falcons side. AJ Terrell has not been ruled out. Neither has Jeff Okuda. But three Falcons starters are out in Nate Landman, Caleb McGarry, and David Onyemata. Cordarrelle Patterson now has an illness, so he could be a game-time decision. Now, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, last week on the injury front, it was a lot more players on the defensive side of the ball that we were talking about, but this week it seems like the Bucs are going to be getting Lavonte David back, seemingly Servassie Dennis, so you're not going to be nearly as thin in that linebacker core. But as we did find out, Devin White, Jamel Dean have both been ruled out. Devin White and Jamel Dean missing their second straight week. And Vita Vea pops up with being questionable, being a game time decision because he did not practice all week, which is not a great sign for the big man in the middle of that defensive line. But for the Bucks, again, we talk about the absence of Devin White and Jamel Dean. At least they're getting some reinforcements this week.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. And getting Levante David most likely back is huge. At the same time, though, man, you got to hope Vita Vea plays because it's this matchup. That's what sucks. This matchup with the Falcons who can run the football. By the way, the Falcons as a team, the last four straight times, they have as a team had over 100 rushing yards against this Todd Bowles defense. So, yeah, Arthur Smith and the Falcons seem to be figuring out how to run against the Bucks, and they do it with success. And not having Vita Vea up the middle would really hurt. It does help that Levante David's back. It helps that Sebastian Dennis is probably back. J.J. Russell played well, and you know he'll be able to step in if one of those guys has come out. But not having Vita Vea would really, really hurt this team, I think, and it would be just a massive loss. I have to imagine he's going to try everything in his power to give it a, go. Just like we talked about, you know, this is like a playoff game. I mean, this is how this has to be treated. Obviously, if you can't go, you can't go. Like if you're so banged up to where you can't go, it is what it is. But, you know, I think that losing Devin White is okay. You can overcome that. I think you can as a defense. Even Jamel Dean, like I like Jamel Dean as a player, but he struggled this year, and I acknowledge that. Carlton Davis has been better ever since Carlton Davis came back from injury. I think Davis has played a little bit better, so maybe Dean. I don't think Dean's too far off, or else I think they would have probably put him on IR. So I would guess maybe Dean's back for next week. I don't know about Devin White, but we'll have to wait and see on that. And it's good to have Levante David back. It helps the defense a lot. But, man, if you don't have Vita Vea against that Falcons rushing attack, even with the Falcons missing Caleb McGarry, who, I mean, is one of the better tackles in the NFL. Did you mention their center? I don't know if their center is playing or not. I know he popped up on the injury report this week. I don't know if he's playing or not. But Vita Vea, you're potentially being out for the Buccaneers is massive.
Is it London, their center? Caleb London?
No.
Oh, he's a deal. Never mind. Caleb McGarry, offensive lineman. Drew Dahlman?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Did not practice. Limited participation. So he finished Thursday and Friday being limited to participation.
Okay. His status is questionable. So he might play. Okay. He probably will play since he finished limited on both days. I guess he plays. So, yeah, I mean, even, you know, without Caleb McGarry, though, this Falcons rushing attack can hurt you. And the Bucs didn't see Bijan Robinson last time. Bijan Robinson had an illness, so he did not really play. But Tyler Allgeier has been like a Chuba Hubbard, basically. Yeah. To the Buccaneers. He has really killed them. So Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, you're going to see a ton of, and you just hope that the Bucs can stop this Falcons ground game, because if they can't, it could be a long day for the defense.
Yeah, that's been something here in the second half of the season that has fallen.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Apart for the Bucs, even with Vita Vea last week on that defensive line against Carolina, Chuba Hubbard had a monster day. He was getting plenty of work. We saw the same thing a couple of weeks ago with Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor both having productive days in the second half of that game. And that's going to be big, too, is making sure that not only do they start strong, but they finish strong. Because the defense, they got to play a full four quarters. And we talked about some of the guys are getting back this week. Levante David having a short tackler in the backfield is going to go a long way. But you just got to do your job. You got to do your job. It's a playoff atmosphere, and everybody knows it. But I do want to talk a little more about one guy in particular on the defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who will not be in action this week. That is linebacker Devin White. And the reason I bring up Devin White is because, you know, obviously he's been a popular guy this year among the fans. And I've seen a lot of discourse this week about what the Bucs should do when he comes back from his injury, which may be next week, maybe the week after that. Kind of a similar case as Jamel Dean, where the Bucs didn't list him on the IR. So you have to assume he'll be back at some point before the end of the regular season. But this is going to be a critical stretch of games for Devin White if and when he comes back from this injury, because regardless of if it's in Tampa Bay or not, he's looking for a new contract. And the NFL is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of league. So if he doesn't have a strong finish to the year, where he's had mostly a disappointing 2023 season so far, I don't know what next season's going to look like for him. We've already talked about how he has maybe played his way out of a contract extension in Tampa Bay. But people have started saying that the best thing for the Bucs would be to bench Devin White when he comes back from his injury. I know a lot of what that decision is going to be is contingent upon what they do this week. If they win, then the playoff door is still open. And to be honest with you, there's not going to be a lot of arguments I can hear as to why you would still bench Devin White if he's ready to play off of injury and the Bucs have a shot at the postseason. I don't hear a lot of good arguments as to why that would be a good option. But if the Bucs are out of postseason contention and Devin White is still dealing with injury, do you think it would be best for the Bucs to shut him down? Is that a viable option? Or do you think that's maybe a bad look on the Bucs? Because we just talked about the importance of this final stretch here for Devin White, who more than likely elsewhere is going to be playing for a contract.
I think a lot of Bucs fans and analysts and some agree that like Devin White's probably not back in Tampa Bay next year. But I do think if he's healthy, like, I think you kind of got to play him now. I mean, it's a great opportunity for Zavasse Dennis, and it sucks that Dennis couldn't go last week. But I mean, they got it more of a look at JJ Russell then, you know, so that was good, of course. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see what Dennis looks like on Sunday next to Levante David, because that, I mean, could very well be your 2024 linebackers, you know, right there. If they bring back Levante David and Sarasi Dennis is there, it could be those guys. So I don't know about shutting Devin White down. I do think it's a little bit different, and I think the argument can't be made if they're still in the playoff hunt. Like, I don't think you can make an argument. However, look, a loss this week to Atlanta would not mathematically eliminate them. They are not mathematically eliminated. Now, if they lose to Atlanta this week and then they lose to Green Bay and then Atlanta wins next week, okay, I'm not sure all the scenarios, but then they might be mathematically eliminated. But a loss this week, they, like I said, they still have an 8% chance. So they're not mathematically eliminated. And I don't think they would consider shutting anybody down for any reason until they are officially done. So I think as far as Devin White and the future of this team goes, I don't expect him on the team in 2024, but I would expect him to play some point again in 2023. I don't think you've seen the last of Devin White in a Bucs uniform.
And there's a lot of people who are going to say like, oh, well, of course, you know, they're going to shut Devin White down at the end of the season. If they're out of the playoff hunt, you want to see what you have in Servasi Dennis. And that's a fair point. Like, that's going to be high up on the priority list because Servasi Dennis, you know, this 2023 draft class for the Bucs has been great so far. It really has. Like, Kalijah Kancey, Yaya Diaby playing well ahead of schedule. You'd love to see Servasi Dennis get some important reps down the stretch here. But again, like, what does that do? I guess you really shouldn't be worried about souring the relationship between Devin White and the Bucs any further. But like, does that not come off as just kind of a bad move?
If he's healthy, yeah. I mean, you know, because other players are going to pay attention to that too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, yeah,
like other players are going to keep that in mind. Like, oh, they held him out. Like, he was healthy, ready to go. They knew it was contract time, and they held him out for a reason. Like, other players are going to remember that, and So that's why I think I don't think you've seen the last of Devin White. I think they're going to take a good look at Zavrasi Dennis. I think they like Dennis a lot, but I also think that they're going to use this game and possibly next week as an audition for Dennis, see what he has for next year. Because honestly, even if Levante David isn't back, like, so I think Zavrasi Dennis is a really good chance to be one of these teams, you know, two linebackers, like one of their two linebackers next year. So I think it's going to be an audition for him either way, whether it's Levante David back and Devin White not, if it's both gone, if it's, you know, if it's Devin White back, Levante David not, like, no matter what it is, I think it could be an audition for Dennis. So I think they're going to take a look at that. But at the same time, yeah, I don't expect them to shut down Devin White for any reason, unless it's like, you know, if his injury is not doing well, like, and it's like legit, then obviously, and you're like, oh, he could return like week 18, then maybe not. Then maybe you just shut him down and say, you know, hey, best of luck. But yeah, I do expect to see Devin White again at some point this year. And I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Before we talk about the other side of the football, I did want to give some props to the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, the best safety in the NFL, Antoine Winfield Jr.
Hang on. Okay. So maybe we don't, okay, I 100% agree on the best safety in the NFL, okay? However, it is blasphemy that this guy is not even on the Pro Bowl voting.
Oh, come on.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Do we expect anything different this time of year? Every year, even when the Bucs had Tom F and Brady, it felt like there were a lot of guys that just kind of missed, you know.
Like, not even on the thing though. He's not even on the list. Like, I don't understand. Like, that is ridiculous.
They don't know
that
ball.
Is insane.
They don't know ball. They just don't know ball.
That's insane.
What's
that reminds
be even
me
worse?
Of like 2013 when Levante David had that year, which I still think is probably the best year of his career. When he had that year and he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Like, I know the Pro Bowl is a joke. I'm not really going to get too hung up on it, but to not even be, I believe, in the top 10. You mean to tell me there's 10 safeties that have been better than Antoine Winfield Jr. this year? Get out of here. Like, come on.
What's even worse is that he probably won't even make the first or second all-pro team this year. I guarantee.
No, I mean, no, probably not.
Yeah. And
definitely not the first.
That's just where the Bucs are. Well, okay. That's just where the Bucs are. You know, we're back to not necessarily being the media darling that they have been the last couple of seasons. So it comes with the territory. It is what it is. But shout out to Antoine Winfield Jr. having one hell of a season. And when he gets paid, man, he's getting paid. All right, let's talk about the offense for the Bucs as we wrap up this week's game preview. And we'll take a little bit from the headlines here. Talk about another popular player on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster as of late. That is wide receiver Chris Godwin. I wasn't on social media enough to know why he was in the news this week, but I saw that there was some discrepancy between his wife, head coach Todd Bowles, and it all had to do with his injuries, playing time, snap count, this and that. But from what I understand, Evan, if you could explain it to me like I'm 5 years old, when you compare Chris Godwin as a number two wide receiver, his targets and catches on the year compared to other number two wide receivers, everything is kind of right where it should be. I know Dave Canales admitted that, you know, he hasn't done the best job at getting Godwin involved, and we can talk about Canales and his usage. We can also talk about Baker Mayfield just not throwing the ball to Chris Godwin. But between both of those things, it seems like everything with Godwin is like, it seemed like up until this week, everything was okay. I know we had talked about getting him into the offense a little bit more. It's been the Mike Evans show out there. But does this feel like something that got blown up into a bigger deal than it really should be? Or is Chris Godwin legitimately concerned with his usage in this offense and the Bucs are going to adjust accordingly moving forward?
I mean, I think Godwin has every right to be frustrated. I mean, you know, he needs to be a bigger part of the offense. I've been saying it for a while. Like, this offense is better when Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are involved, not just Mike Evans, like not just the Mike Evans show. Mike Evans is a great player, but the offense is so much better and runs so much better when both guys are involved. And like, you're paying Chris Godwin a lot of freaking money, you know, that's a big debate. That's a big reason why they haven't paid Mike Evans, because they're already paying Chris Godwin. It's tough to pay two wide receivers $20 plus million a year. Right. So And I'm not saying that's okay. Oh, you're paying him so much money, you have to use him. No. You have to use him because he's a talented football player. That's why. Okay. But it's just, it's so weird. And part of it, I think, is the offense, sure. But also part of it's Baker Mayfield. If you look on film, Godwin is getting open. Mayfield just decides to go somewhere else with the football. Like, it just, it happens. You know, I don't know why. To me, I love Trey Palmer, loved him coming out of college, love the draft pick. He's targeting Trey Palmer too much. It seems like the offense is basically Trey Palmer, Mike Evans, occasionally Rashad White, occasionally Kate Otten. Like, that's what it feels like the offense is. And Chris Godwin is just completely forgotten, and I don't understand why. He's too good of a football player. You're paying him too much money, and he does too many things well for you to just forget about him. So hopefully they can get it right. If any bettors out there, I don't know what the thing is, what the line's at. I'm going to check it right now, but I'd bet the over receptions, because it always seems like whenever this is a subject, right, a topic, it seems like the next week. I remember, I think last year, it was, I think, the Pittsburgh game that I don't believe Mike Evans had a catch or something like that, or he had like one catch, and it was a big storyline, like heading into the game against Carolina. And I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to take Mike Evans over for like 5.5 receptions or whatever. I was like, he's going to get that easily. And he got like 8 catches. So like they target him. So I would expect Chris Godwin to definitely get some work in there. And his catches, 4.5. Yeah, that's easy. I mean, I think he's gonna get 5 catches. That's free money right there. If it loses, you can blame it. But yeah, I don't think it's BS. I think he has a legit point. I think he's got a right to be frustrated. I think the Bucs offense as a whole has a right to be frustrated, because again, they are better when this guy is going, and right now he's not going, and it's not even really his fault. Like, it's not like, oh, they're throwing the ball and he's not catching it. No, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, he had back-to-back drops, you know, the past 2 weeks, but like, it's not like he had the dropsies the entire season. It's not like he hasn't been a productive player. It's just like he's like sort of forgotten about in this offense, and it's really weird.
Yeah, you brought up the drops, and I was going to say that's crucial to, as long as the Bucs are playing for the postseason, you want everybody to be playing confident. And Chris Godwin, you just got to build that confidence back up. You mentioned how he's had back-to-back drops. 2 weeks ago, that was his first drop of the season. And I think before that game, he led the NFL for the most games in a row with multiple catches from a wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken, had one of the longest streaks in the NFL. So you want to build that confidence back up. And now this is Dave Canales commenting on Godwin's lack of results in the offense the last few weeks. This comes from Pewter Report. Last Sunday against the Panthers, Godwin was held without a catch on 3 targets, and over the past 4 games, he has contributed very little to the offense's success, especially when pitting his production against Mike Evans. For Dave Canales, he was reminded of his other star wide receiver's ability when he ran a 19-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter of the team's 21-18 win. Quote, "What a huge reminder for me, right? The guy is just magic with the ball, and so I have to do a better job. I come up here and say it every week, and I'm not satisfied with how we're using Chris in our offense. He's a huge part of what we do, and just speaking to that point, a lot of the ways we get the ball quick in touches has been going to Trey Palmer and Devin Tompkins. Quote, some of those things that are designed to them, Chris has been averaging about 10 yards when we get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage on things that he has done well in the past." Referring to those screen passes and, you know, those outside looks that they have been giving Godwin. "I got to be more aware of spreading those types of touches out because he does have such a knack with the ball after the catch. Both Dave Canales and Chris Godwin recently had a one-on-one conversation where they shared how this has been, where they shared how there has been frustration about him getting the ball. Even with Godwin not being as productive as expected, he still has had a role in the offense. His 53 receptions for 606 yards speaks to the share of targets he still receives, but Canales wants to unearth the great player he knows is still there." So obviously seems like something they're going to be working on as we round out the regular season. But for the Bucs on the offensive side of the ball, they've been getting better. I think when you look at this week's matchup and you look at who has to hold up the best, I mean, the last time these two teams played, you know, the Bucs only scored 13 points. So obviously the offense has to be better. But they held the Falcons to 16 in a loss last time. I have my doubts they're going to hold Atlanta to 16 points in Atlanta because this defense has not gotten better since that game.
Here's the other thing. The Falcons had three red zone turnovers in that game. Like, Desmond Ridder fumbled the ball three times.
And he's your starter, by the way. If you would have asked me four weeks ago about this game, I would have fully expected Taylor Heinicke. And my
bro, if Taylor Heinicke was playing, the Bucs would have zero shot.
Yeah, I think they'd be cooked.
they would have zero chance to win.
Oh, man. Yeah, but the Falcons go back to Ridder. So that's another thing, too. I mean, you can count on his mistakes. Hopefully, he hasn't been mistake-free since he came back. I think the first game he came back was that game against the Saints. And both him and Derek Carr played like crap. So I don't know what you're going to get from Ridder this week, but regardless, that Bucs defense has to be better. With potential holes on the defensive line and, of course, missing Devin White and Jamel Dean, you're going to be relying on a lot of younger talent this week.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like you said, the offense has got to be better, score more than 13 points. But the defense, I would say, that, you know, ever since the bye week, you know, and really, okay, ever since that, basically after that week seven game, I would say, honestly, after that week seven game against Atlanta, like the offense has been better than the defense has. And the defense has regressed a little bit and the offense has progressed. Now, I mean, they still struggle to score over 20 points. Like, they've gone over 20 points, I believe, four times in their, 12 games. So, I mean, that's not great. You know, over 20 points. So they've reached 20 points a couple of times, but haven't gotten over it only four times. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I don't know. It is good that Falcons aren't some high-powered offense, but, you know, if you miss Vita Vea, you know, with the Falcons' strength being a run game, it could get a little dicey. So on offense, I just think the Bucs have to protect the football. And Baker Mayfield has had a little bit of issues with that lately. And it's becoming a trend, and it can't continue in this game. It can't. And he had a late interception against the Falcons in week seven. It really hurt him. And that sort of mistake can't happen again, because that could sort of cost you the game. And it could cost Todd Bowles a job. It could cost Baker Mayfield his starting job in Tampa Bay next year. So if they lose, look, they're not going to put in Kyle Trask. Like, that's another thing. Like, I don't think until they're mathematically eliminated, they're not going to consider putting Kyle Trask in. Like, week 18, if they decide, look, Mayfield ain't back, okay, maybe if you're, you know, 6-10, right, and like, you know, you're not making the playoffs, all right, maybe put Trask in and see what you got. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to be putting in Kyle Trask anytime soon. So yeah, Mayfield's got to protect the ball better, and it's becoming a trend that he was so good at avoiding. I know I keep saying this every episode, but he was so good at avoiding it through the first six games or so, but then lately it's been trending in the wrong direction. So hopefully he can get that corrected.
We praised him, and that's why in the first half of the season it felt like he was playing better than a lot of people expected him to, just because of maybe not the explosiveness of this Buccaneers offense, because it took them all the way until week 10 to get a run game, but the efficiency, you know, the critical third down conversions and not turning the ball over. And I'm glad you brought up the turnover battle, because that was going to be my main point before we get to score predictions for Baker Mayfield. He's going to be looking to avoid a fifth straight game with a turnover. I think the last four games he has thrown an interception, had a couple of fumbles lost in there as well. Did get a couple fumbles back, but regardless, you cannot be a turnover-prone quarterback at this point of the season when you have so much to play for. So the Bucs have to be efficient, and I know we talk about getting Chris Godwin more involved, and I know we'll probably inevitably talk about Rashad White. But I also want to talk about the offensive line and kind of give a status update. Tristan Wirfs, he's been shaken up so far this year. Seems like he's going to give it a go. He'll be ready to go at the left tackle position. But wanted to get your thoughts on some of the other guys that we had talked about and criticized so far this season. Aaron Stinney filling in at that left guard spot seems to be doing an all right job. But I wanted to mainly get your thoughts on the interior and the right side there. Robert Hainsey, Cody Mauch, the rookie, and then, of course, Luke Getteke at right tackle, who, dare I say it, looks like a quality starter at right tackle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he looks like an NFL caliber. I mean, is he spectacular? No, I don't think he's ever going to be spectacular, but he looks like, an NFL quality, you know, starting tackle. Where is he replaceable? Maybe, but like, you're like, okay, he's fine. Like you don't need to be looking. The Bucs don't need to be searching for a right tackle in the offseason. So I thought Stinney's played better than Filer. I mean, there's been times where Stinney has struggled, but I do think the Buccaneers need to look for a left guard in the offseason. I think that's going to need to be something that's addressed. Robert Hainsey at center, I think he's more of a natural guard. So he's struggled a little bit at center. He was better last year at center. They could be looking for a center this offseason because Ryan Jensen's, I've gotten some questions about Jensen. He's not off the books technically he's still under contract for next season. But all indications are that he's probably done playing football. I know he's going to try and come back. He said that he intends to, but I don't know if that's realistic. So could be looking for a center. And then Cody Malka, yeah, it's been up and down, as you would expect with a rookie that went to North Dakota State, playing in the NFL and starting in the NFL. I think it's been up and down, and there's been some good and there's been some bad. So he's another guy I'm sort of hoping for that year two jump in next year, sort of, because, what you got this year, it's fine. For a rookie second-round pick, like, it's fine, but you want to see a little bit more, I think, in year two after a little bit more development. So the interior of the offensive line, I think, is definitely the weak point. Now, the Falcons not having David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett up the middle is definitely going to help. It is certainly going to help, but the Falcons' pass rush has been decent as of late. Lorenzo Carter, Arnold E., I believe his first name is Arnold. His last name is... Yeah, it starts with an E. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I would butcher that. But they've been getting a lot of sacks. And I believe that the Arnold E guy has like 4 sacks in the last 3 games or something like that. He's been on a tear. So going to have to watch out for him. And yeah, you're right. I mean, Tristan Wirfs, and look, he hasn't played as well since he's been banged up. And I wonder if he's one of those guys where if the Bucs are mathematically eliminated, say week 16, week 17, I wonder if they shut him down for the season, try and get him as healthy as possible. If he needs any type of surgery or anything, I don't think it's that severe, but just to rest up and not possibly injure it anymore. But yeah, he's seems to be banged up. I mean, Baker Mayfield's even a little bit banged up. He got landed on by Derek Brown last Sunday. Wasn't on the injury report, but he's hurting. So I think Wirfs could be a guy they maybe shut down if they're out of the playoffs, like mathematically. But I think, the offensive line has been, I would say, I don't know if I'd say a strength. I think it's been fine for the Buccaneers. I would say it was a strength early in the season. But again, like a lot of things with this Bucs team, as the season has gone on, it's fallen back a little bit, I think. And I think Tristan Wirfs, like I said, because he hasn't been as healthy, I think he's dipped a little bit at left tackle. He struggled late in that 49ers game after he left. Then he struggled in the Indy game. And then last week he was okay, but he got hurt again. So we'll have to see what type of game he has on Sunday. But the offensive line, I think if they can hold up enough and give Baker Mayfield time, look, it's all about making the right decisions and getting the football to your playmakers and just sort of, letting them do their thing.
Yeah, if the Bucs want to have any success getting Chris Godwin or even Rashad White involved in this offense, it's going to start and stop with the offensive line. You give Baker time, and of course you open up those run lanes that we love to see. Let's get into some score predictions here for the Falcons and the Bucs. Bucs going to be on the road. The Bucs have proven to me that I don't know. Are they a better road team this year? We've been able to say that most years, but I'm not sure if that's the case. You did get a loss in Indy a couple of weeks ago. Come back home, you get a big win against Carolina. Here you are on the road again. It's a big-time division game. I wouldn't say Atlanta Stadium is a particularly tough place to play, but I do think playing on the road is still going to affect this team. I think the offense is better. They're in a better spot than they were when they last played Atlanta. I think the injuries are going to play a factor for both teams as well. If the offensive line holds up, I do see Mike Evans having another big day because A.J. Terrell, he has not been ruled out. So he is questionable, but man, he cannot cover Mike Evans. It seems like most times whenever the Bucs match up and you've got Mike Evans being shadowed by A.J. Terrell, Mike usually gets 65-plus yards on the day, which for a guy like him... is productive in this offense. So I think the Bucs score a little more points than they did last time. And I think they have to hold on late in this one to win. I think Atlanta, it's going to be kind of similar to Carolina, where if the Bucs do win, which I'm going to pick them to win, if the Bucs do win, they're going to have to hang on. I think it'll be a little too close for comfort there in the fourth quarter. Atlanta's going to make a late surge, but it will not be enough. Tampa Bay comes out on top 24-21 in a very close, very stressful division game.
Yeah, well, and also like AJ Terrell is like good too, and like Mike Evans just gives him fits, and Jeff Okuda was another corner of theirs who's had a really good year. They traded for him from Detroit, and he was on the injury report as well, so something to monitor. Both corners may be a little bit banged up there. Yeah, just somehow, some way, oh, and also like you mentioned, they're actually. They're 3-3 at home this year, the Bucks, and 2-4 on the road. So, worse road record than home, like, coincidentally. They have played some tougher teams on the road. They played the Bills, they played the Niners, they played the Colts, and then obviously at home they played the Titans, the Bears, and the Panthers. Those are their three wins at home. So, I think somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to win. I don't know how. I have a feeling that they're going to. I guess it boils down to, I just have a hard time imagining the Falcons sweeping them. Whereas, like, if you told me, like, if the Saints would have won the week four game, and then you're like, oh, the Saints are going to win again, I was like, okay, like, yeah, Saints have always had the Bucks number. Like, you know, I just don't know if I can trust this Falcons team enough to think that they're going to sweep an opponent. I don't know. For some reason, I just think they step up, even with the injuries, banged up defense. Atlanta's banged up too, so I think that helps. I think they find a way. I'm going to have a lower scoring game than you. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I think it's going to be almost a carbon copy of what the week seven game was, except I think it's going to be a different result. I not necessarily a game winning field goal by Chase McLaughlin, but just that type of game, low scoring. You don't really know, like, entering the fourth quarter, like, it's like anybody's game. You need to limit the mistakes down the stretch. I think the Bucs do this time, which they didn't last time. They didn't in week seven. Baker Mayfield obviously had that interception late in the game. They didn't limit the mistakes. This time I think they will, and I think the Bucks are going to win 17-13. I think the Bucks are going to come out on top and keep their season alive. Will they make the playoffs if they win this game? Who knows, right? It's still basically 50-50. I mean, that PFF thing with the analytics at 52%. So, well, it's not a slam dunk that they make the playoffs, because basically, you know, you win this game, but you lose the next three. Doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you won this game. So we'll have to wait and see. But their playoff chances will greatly remain alive with a win here. And I do think just somehow, some way, they get the job done.
I agree. They pulling you back in?
No.
Huh?
No. No, just I just think it's just I have a hard time believing the Falcons are going to sweep them. I don't think the Falcons are good enough to sweep them. And I think combined with if the Bucs would have won in week seven, I'm probably picking the Falcons right now. I just don't think either team is good enough to sweep either one of them. So I think combined with the injuries and that I think the Falcons are not going to be able to sweep the Bucks. I just think the Bucks are going to find a way somehow, some way. I think they're going to win.
We're going to need a terrible game from Ritter, just like last time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, on one hand, like, the Pewter Report guys actually brought this up too. They were like, you know, like, yeah, on one hand, like, a lot of people said, oh, the Bucks should have won that game week seven. Like, oh, the Bucks lost that game. At the same time, though, the Falcons had three red zone turnovers. So, yeah, the Bucks should have and could have won that game. At the same time, the Falcons could have blown the Bucks out. Like, the Falcons could have scored like two more touchdowns, and it's a completely different game. So I don't know which, and this is the toughest game, biggest game of the year, obviously, for the Bucks, but the toughest game of the year for me to predict, because I don't know which version of either team is going to show up on Sunday. Like, I mean, you could get the Falcons who blew leads to the Vikings and the Cardinals, or you get the Falcons who had a big division win against the Saints and beat the Bucks, you know, and you can get the Bucks who the offense looked great against Houston, the defense looked great against Tennessee, or you can get a game like Indy where it's kind of like too little too late. Like, you just don't know what type of team you're going to get each week from either of these teams. So really tough to predict, but I'm going to pick the Bucks.
A lot on the line this week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, a big time division matchup. And if they lose, it's over. It is over. So a playoff atmosphere on the road this week for Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot on the line here in the closing weeks of the 2023
Whether they win or lose, though, we'll be live after the game. If they lose, it'll be a much different discussion than if they win. If they win, we'll be talking about the game. If they lose, talking a little bit about the game, but to be honest with you, we'll be talking about a lot more other stuff if they lose, a lot more long-term stuff if they lose. So be sure to tune in either way, though, Sunday after the game.
It's going to be like a funeral.
And if they tie, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, that'll really be a discussion to be had. We'll have to break down all the logistics of that.
That would be a tiebreaker mess for the playoffs.
Seriously, that'd be awful. How fitting for a terrible NFC South division as well. Just one of the worst in football this year. But that's going to do it for this week's game preview edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. Shout out to everybody in the chat hanging out with us live today. Brutal as Bucks, Al Bundy, our friends from the Bring the Juice Colt Podcast, talking about how they have a big game this Sunday as well. The Colts very much in the mix over there in the AFC. I know the AFC, a very tough conference this year, but after a good stretch of wins here that kicked off with the Bucks, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts are in a good position to make the postseason. It's going to be interesting for them. Follow my co-host, Evan, on social media. You can find him on Instagram at Bucks_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucksNation.com. Have you got anything this week before the game?
Gonna have the Q&A with the Falcons, the Falcoholic, the SB Nation site, and also X Factor, which, spoiler, it's Baker Mayfield. So it's gonna be Baker Mayfield. So I'm gonna talk about why Baker Mayfield needs to play well in order for the Buccaneers to win this week. So stay tuned for those two things coming. I mean, within the next 48 hours, because 48 hours from now is the football game, so it'll be out soon.
Last but not least, you can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Win, lose, or draw right here, youtube.com/CannonFirePodcast. We will be live and taking your phone calls. Looking forward to it. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you then. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.